Hi, Chad.
Hi, Cameron.
It's Opinions Are Cheap with Cameron and Chad. And that's today, us. we have some really cool news.
Yeah, the coolest news.
So I like to talk about topical things, but it's like I don't get to editing the show until 6 days after we record it, which means it defeats the purpose of being topical. So why Correct. Do I bother?
Because you don't need a reason, Cameron. You can just do whatever the fuck you want.
Okay. So I guess if you're listening to this, last week, O.J. Simpson died. We got a lot of good O.J. Simpson jokes, so that was fun.
I heard about his death, like, today. Someone's like, did you know O.J. Simpson died today? Oh. Oh, when you say last week, it's because it's okay. I get you. We're doing some time travel by the time the listener's here. Yeah. Sorry. You there?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to continue the story.
No, that there's not more to the story. He's dead.
Oh, I thought because, you know, like the jokes or something, there'd be more than just, like, I thought you're setting something up.
I don't know. Did you see any good jokes? I saw a few that I liked. I don't like to laugh at dead people, but man, there's a lot of good OG jokes that he more or less has coming, so I'm not going to hold too many bad feelings about that.
Sure.
This is a terrible opening of the show.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I feel like I should be better.
Well, maybe I shouldn't open the show with dead celebrities.
They don't age well because they can't age anymore because they're dead.
So I guess I don't know if people were following. He was 76, right?
Yeah.
He was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
But he was found dead, and cancer says that he wasn't involved, but he's currently fleeing in a white Bronco in Florida. That's not my joke. I stole it.
No, but I'm glad you regaled us with it, because I never would have encountered that had I not been listening and talking to you. Thank you, Twitter jokester.
Hooray. Well, that's terrible, and we might have to cut the whole opening, so let's start again. How would you like to open the show, Chad?
So last night at ping pong, we were all hanging out and talking, and like we do, and I wasn't drinking. I was drinking non-alcoholic chocolate stouts, which actually pretty good.
They can be. They gotta be made right, but they can be.
These ones are decent. I was impressed with it. I started kind of feeling drunk, even though there was no alcohol in there. But like my body was like, this is a beer. And, you know, stouts are usually a little higher proof. But we start talking, the group of us. And keep in mind, I'm sober. But we're talking about Alien and like the whole Alien Romulus coming out. And I'm like, well, I think the movie's about this. And Stan's like, That's kind of weird, right? Like what, they just find the alien, like, floating through space? What are the odds? And then someone else, or maybe it was still him, was like, what if the Jetsons were just, like, putting along through space and they just found the alien? And I was like, oh my god, I want to see the Jetsons crossover with Alien. And then I texted you that, and you're like, I don't like the Jetsons, I like the Flintstones. I was like, well, the Flintstones can cross over with Predator. And so, these are the things that I find really funny. I haven't workshopped this at all, but if we wanted to do a brief writing stint, some fan fiction, because you know for a fact that Mr. Spacely is going to make Jetson George bring the alien back. And he's going to be like, if you don't, you're fired. And George is going to be like, well, I got to do it, honey. It's, you know, I don't want to get fired for my button pushing job. And I think what it, like, I don't know, like, do the Jetsons go to the Nostromo, or like the crashed, or did they just find the alien in space? Did they get? I feel like there's someone should get face hugged, but I don't know who. There's pieces, and they make me smile, but I need to arrange them in an order where they'll make other people smile.
So, you know, when you brought up the ship, my first thought was actually like, would it almost be more interesting to see George Jetson go to the ship from Dead Space?
Oh, I feel like the Dead Space world is inherently a lot more threatening than the alien one. Because, well, the alien world is threatening once you get that thing on board. But just like walking through the ship, there's only a couple things in there that we see that are like actually violently threatening. Everything else is just scary. Whereas Dead Space...
But also, like, the ship is broken. And so it's like, but Mr. Spacely says we gotta go replace that sprocket.
I feel like he would be at the ship to take a sprocket. That they were like, oh, it's an alien vessel. I bet they have the best sprockets ever. We can take it back and like remake them ourselves. Unless the intent was to get the ship fixed, which would be interesting, but I don't know how that would play in.
You know, I'm also very curious, how do you like picture this? Because when you mentioned it, what came to mind was actually that, was it an IDW book or DC?
It was DC.
DC did those like Flintstones and Jetsons comics where it was like a little like, it was like a mini series, but it was like drawn serious.
Yeah.
It was like
a
reimagining kind of a thing. And it's like, I could almost picture more of a like take these Jetsons characters and then try to tell an actual story. But then I thought about it for a little bit more and it's like, wouldn't it be better if it was like the Archie versus Predator where it was like Archie style and it was cartoony and silly?
Yeah, I'm more picturing it like that or just like in the style of the show itself, like the cartoon.
Yeah.
And I guess going off of that, it would probably start somehow with like Elroy being like, Dad, I need to go on an adventure thing for school and it's due tomorrow. Can you take me in the ship and we can go somewhere? We'll bring Astro. And George is like, oh, fine. And he's just like, you know, I got to work really hard for 3 hours tomorrow. That's Spacely. He's a real son of a bitch. And Judy and the mother are just like, have fun, dear. Be back in time for midnight or whatever. Don't feed Gizmo. And then they go and maybe they get lost or they go through a wormhole. They somehow wind up on the ship or like they see it. Maybe they get the distress beacon. Like, oh, here's that real adventure. He can write about this in his school report for tomorrow, which evidently he's going to be up all night doing. I don't think that these kind of shows, when they use that as a plot point, like, I have this due tomorrow, we got to go do this thing after supper. And it's like, yeah, but that's only half of it. Like, you got to spend another couple hours doing the actual homework part. Like, this is, like, pre-homework part. So, I don't know. Elroy's in for a long night, apparently. And then they get on the ship. And I would say they bring an egg back.
Well, yeah. I think that's the thing, is that they probably, like, stumble upon an egg, and Elroy's like, well, I could bring this in for my report. Because that's how reports work, is they're show and tell.
And I like the idea of them walking by that, like, dead engineer with its chest blown out, and Elroy's like, oh, Dad, what's that? Because George always has to know stuff. He's like, oh, son, that's just a paper mache. This is probably just put here for tourists, and, like, Astro's like freaking the fuck out and he's like rut roll. This is however he talks. I can't remember. It's been a hot minute since I've seen. I was just gonna do Scooby. Right. Is he kind of just like Scooby-Doo?
Yeah. He's okay. I want to say he's like harder to understand, but I think he's actually just very much like Scooby.
Right, Rarge. And then George is like, oh, nice doggy. He talks too much. And, I think Spacely Sprockets has to get involved. I would love for Spacely Sprockets to actually be a division of Weyland-Yutani.
So, okay, so Mr. Spacely or Mr. Sprocket?
Oh, they're two different people, aren't they?
There's like the rival company.
I thought it was Spacely Sprockets, and then the rival company was something else.
Let me see now. Jetsons, Arch Nemesis. Wikipedia lore. So there's Cosmo Spacely.
Yep.
Let me type in Sprocket.
List of Jetsons
characters. Oh, it's Cogswell. It was Cogswell's Cogs.
Okay.
That's right.
One of them definitely needs to be owned by Weyland-Yutani.
Yes. I picture Cogswell being the Yutani here. It's funny because, like, typically Cogswell is like framed as like the bad guy, but most of the time it's like, it's not like Spacely is a good guy or something.
Well, usually Spacely is the bad guy, and then Cogswell shows up and he's the worst guy, and you're like, well, at least you're not working for Cogswell. He's a dick.
That's the thing. It's like you want to root for, like, oh, they have this rivalry and they bested their rival, so you can feel good for George, but also it's like, oh, his boss is so mean, and it's not like well well framed. It's also not very deep. Jetsons is not like a super like clever or deep show or anything.
I think it has moments where it feels deep, and I don't know if that's just because like this far removed from it, I can look at some of the things it's doing and laugh really hard because they either got them really wrong or maybe struck gold and got something right. I feel like Spacely gets face hugged.
Yes, I'm open to that. I picture, okay, they bring back the egg. It gets to Spacely, yes. And he's excited about like, oh, well, we could, you know, there's potential in researching whatever this is. That'll give him the edge on somehow blah, blah, technobabble.
Yeah, I would say Spacely goes to visit them the next day. I don't know why. He's there for something else. It doesn't really matter what. Maybe it does because that could be a B-plot, but we'll table that. He shows up and is like, hey, George, I'm here for this. And then he sees the egg on the table and he's like, what is that? And George is like, oh, it's just a high school, a little school project for Alroy. We went and saw, you know, a fake ship yesterday. It was very scary. He's very, very traumatized. The dog hasn't spoken to me since. Like, you talk to the dog, George? He's like, well, you know how it is when your dogs can talk. And Spacely is just like to the aside, like, oh, you don't know about this guy. He's got a screw loose. He needs a Spacely sprocket. He turns it into a commercial and then smokes a cigarette. And then the egg opens and Elroy's not around. And George is like, oh, maybe something is bad here. And the dog freaks out, shits all over. They have to land the plane and clean it for 2 hours with Lysol. That's also topical. And Spacely gets on a stool and looks in. And that's when it gets him. And I feel like Judy and the wife, whose name I can't remember.
Is her I'm name sorry. Judy? Jane.
Jane.
His wife.
Yeah, wow, it's in the jingle and everything. I should know that. They should be doing something. I don't know what. I think the robot, what the fuck's the robot's name?
Rosie.
Rosie makes a mess. And Rosie's just like, God fucking damn it. Because you know how she's swearing all the time. And, okay, so that's where we're at now. I would imagine, because eventually the thing crawls off of Spacely and, you know, goes in a corner and dies, right? And they're just like, what was that? And he's like, George, you're really going to get fired for this, except that B-plot thing I came over for. If you do this perfectly, I won't fire you. I'm not concerned at all. And the dog's freaking out. Maybe Rosie's like, hey, I just scanned your vitals. You got a thing growing in you now. And he's just like, oh, you robots and your things growing in me. That's just food. He's very dismissive.
It's very funny. I'm trying to get the Bing AI to make a picture of the Jetsons styled xenomorph. It doesn't seem to know what the Jetsons is.
Really?
It keeps giving me this like weird, like very high. Well, like it's like a low saturation, high contrast kind of pop art. And I'm like, well, what is this? Why is it doing this? I realized what it's pulling from is logos of the New York Jets and, like, other football teams.
Oh. They look kind of neat, though.
I mean, they're pretty. A couple of these are so, like, ambiguous that you could almost use them for other things. The closest one I got, it looks like a half Homer Simpson, half George Jetson hybrid being chased by just a normal-looking xenomorph that's not cartoony at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to our show.
Back to our show. I think
Jane and Judy are at the mall and they're shopping and they have a lot of bags. And then we go back to the house.
Oh, okay. Here we go. They're shopping and they got a lot of bags and they're talking about the crazy irresponsible trip that George and Elroy went on last night. Maybe they're mad about it because they all broke some rules here doing that. And I can't believe they brought this weird alien egg home. And Cogswell Cogs, who's out buying a mink fur coat for his wife, hears that. And is like, oh, alien egg. I wonder if I can steal that and do something with that for Cogswell Cogs. Or maybe yeah, that's
do you know how to do a Cogswell voice?
I don't even know what he sounds like. It has been too long.
So, do you know how to do an orc voice?
Like, kinda?
It's like, it's half that, like, what you do for Cogswell is you just always like pretend you have a cigar in the side of your mouth.
Oh.
Like, oh, an alien egg, huh? I bet that space flea's up to no good again.
I typed in Cogswell Cogs on YouTube to see if I can find, like, a clip of him, and, like, none of these clips have him on... They're all the other characters, at least on the thumbnails. Trying to find it. Come on. I do like the football stuff, like, that the what the robots end up doing in this show is kind of funny. Because I feel like...
I think, yeah.
Robots playing football isn't that far removed from, like, Bing AI playing football or something, right? Like,
I think that there's something charming about the Jetsons. Like, earlier you said that, like, I don't like them, and it's like, the Jetsons just isn't my favorite. I feel like there's not that much to it, but there are good concepts in there. It's cute. It's very fun in context to look at that retrofuturism. I don't feel nostalgic about it. Like, I don't want to rewatch any Jetsons, but, like, I kind of will, like, go watch Flintstones episodes.
Yeah, I getcha. I feel like there are Flintstones episodes that stick out to me as good, and the Jetsons has maybe one, and I think it's the one where the Judy goes to some, like, party and dances in zero gravity, and there's a really bad song.
I was gonna guess. I have that same vague thing when you said there's only one, and it's like, was there like Judy went to a concert?
Yeah, it's that one.
There was something that, like, yeah, I think that one was like paced better or it had like something more to it. Yeah, wasn't there some like, you know, boy idol singer or a boy band or something?
Yeah,
I don't remember what the plot was.
I cannot find a clip of Mr. Cogswell from the Jetsons to hear his voice. And this is kind of freaking me out. I feel like YouTube has clips of everything. And it's like, nope, you don't. The shitty character from the Jetsons that no one likes. Actually not on YouTube. Fucking nuts. I suppose the rest of our story probably plays out like how you'd expect. The funny thing is like, the Jetsons isn't very violent, so we have to... I think the Xenomorph's got to get out of Spacely without killing him, which is a little antithetical to how those things work, but at the end of the episode, like, the status quo has to be restored.
I guess, and we're keeping this, like, within the context that this is an actual, like, Jetsons episode.
I just don't know what happens in most of Act 2 or Act 3. I know that George will be forced to do things he really doesn't want to do because he doesn't want to get fired from the job he hates. I like the idea of, like, spacely handing George, like, a pulse rifle and being like, you deal with it, and just leaving, and then George is just like, oh, man, I don't know how to use this thing.
Well, and you know how they would do a lot of filler on the show, too, is like, well, don't worry, George, we have the highest, or we have, the latest security, and they push a button. And then, like, a robot will roll out of the wall. And then the Xenomorph will just, like, spit acid on it. And it has, like, a giant hole in the middle of it. And they just look at this giant robot with a hole in it. And Spacely will be, like, he'll get in the panic room or whatever. And he's like, you deal with it.
Yeah, that is exactly what would happen.
Like, that is the pacing at that point.
Like, Cogswell Cogs himself is going to show up. Okay. They're at the factory. They get the Spacely Sprocket factory. They get it out. Spacely's not dead, but he's upset. There's a Xenomorph wandering around. People are very scared. Maybe the monster's killing some robots, because you can show that. Not violent. It's violent, but it's not violent. And Jetson's got a gun, and he's got to go stop the monster, or he's fired. And the lights are flickering, and they don't work. And then Cogswell Cogs has a butterfly net. And he's sneaking through the factory because he's got to capture this thing for Weyland-Yutani, who are his parent company. And he doesn't really want to be there either, but he's afraid that Spacely's going to catch it and they make a lot of money because they're going to make these, like, acid sprockets or whatever. And he wants them acid cogs. And then Jetson and Cogswell will eventually run into each other. Probably, like, they're both backing up and they're freaking out. They touch backs, and then Jetson shoots at the ceiling and does a lot of property damage, which he's going to have to pay for, or he's fired. But then he'll blame it on Cogswell, and it'll be fine. I feel like Astro's here too. I like Astro. I want him to be around. We can forget about Elroy. I don't like Elroy. He's annoying.
I like this idea that we're kind of trying to frame it like within reason, but also like a facehugger killed Spacely.
No, a facehugger almost killed Spacely.
No, he died.
No. Spacely's alive. If Spacey
dies,
that's
how I wrote it.
Then there's no threat to George Jetson.
Okay.
Because ultimately, every threat to George Jetson is largely involves his boss or pissing off his wife, which he's already done. So he can't make that any worse.
I guess we censor ourselves now. We're just censored.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your free speech.
The children need to see a gory explosion out of a chest cavity of their favorite cartoon character,
Mr. Spacely.
George boss. Okay. I would love, could you imagine what would happen if they did something like that? Like if there was like an episode of Dora the Explorer where like some intern got fired. So like he swapped out an episode with something that he like made in his own time. Cause like people just have access to Vegas Studio. And it's just like a chestburster like kills Dora, but like it was like on an unlabeled tape. They didn't know. So months later, they just play this episode where Dora's head explodes on screen. Now you got a cute alien.
Yeah, because you said the Jetsons wasn't working because it was finding the New York Jets. So I was like, well, Flintstones is in the same realm. Let's do Xenomorph in the style of the Flintstones. And I got a weird xenomorph. He's got these big green eyes and a smile, and he's holding a bone, but he's still a xenomorph. And he's got a little club. Honestly, not a bad cartoon. I kind of like this one. Did not fare so well with Predator. None of these look like Flintstones at all. I'm going to try this one more time.
It's funny how it seems to nail certain things like astonishingly well. Like you can do Animal Crossing, and it looks like a screenshot from the game. And then you do The Simpsons, and it's like, I don't know, they got round eyes, I don't know.
Yeah. So, we end our episode, do they kill the xenomorph, or do they get rid of it a different way?
No, I think that they have to somehow, they either capture it, and it's sort of like, they call animal control, and it's like, well, don't worry, we'll take him back to his native habitat on Xenomorphia. Or we go the really cheesy and stupid way that they would have actually written it. And it's like Elroy finds out that it really likes Scooby Snacks or something. And it becomes like a friend. And like, oh, see, you just misunderstood this whole time.
I kind of like the idea of animal control takes it. And they're just like, don't worry, we know what to do. And George is like, see, Elroy, everything's fine. And like Astro's finally calmed down. He's like not shitting blood anymore from fright because of this alien monster that he's had to deal with. Then they go to the dog park a week later. And then just like some weirdo has it on a leash as a dog. And then Astro like turns just like ghost white and passes out.
No, he puts his paw on his head and he shakes his head and he looks in the camera and goes, Rod again.
Or he makes an alien reference somehow. Like he looks at the camera and then he like pulls out a Colonial Marines helmet, puts it on his head, grabs a cigar, and then all of a sudden has like, he's just like in like the camera pans out and he's in that that mech that Ripley uses to fight the Queen alien, and then that's the end. I'm not gonna lie, Cameron. We've written better things on this show, but I don't hate this one.
I was about to say this kind of started as like a dumb joke, but it ran maybe three times as long as I thought we could carry this. Like we had talking points.
I didn't mean for that to happen.
No, it's funny. It's funny too, because like actually like analytically breaking down what a Jetsons episode is, I'm tapping into memories of like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So do we want to do Predator and Flintstones, or did we kind of exhaust this level of discussion?
I think that's a good question, because like with the Flintstones, I kind of take that more seriously than the Jetsons. and I think about it a bit, and it's like, I don't know how to do... Okay, let's go back to that DC comic. Did you ever read that?
I did. I don't remember caring for it, but I also don't remember almost anything about it.
I don't know that anybody cared for it. I think I liked it more than average, which surprised me, because I thought I was being critical of, like, my middling review, but that apparently most people disliked it.
Yeah.
Similarly with the Jetsons thing, too. Like, I think I went in understanding what they were doing, and other people were like, they're not telling the story right. I'm like, well, yeah. Like, are you stupid? I
don't know if the people that read DC Comics are known for being smart. And I say that with all the kindness in the world, but I've read enough DC Comics and read enough reviews and had discussions with people who like Batman, and y'all make me fucking tired. Better than Marvel, though. These are my cheap opinions tonight. That would get me in trouble.
Are you gonna play the Marvel Overwatch game?
Is it free?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. So, with the Flintstones, it might be funny if it's like played up like the Predator, we see it as viewers, right?
Yeah.
And it's like Fred Flintstone going about his day normally, and there's like an invisible Predator that keeps like, you know, poking up in the background and like trying to get him, but like missing in comical ways.
I think that's one way to take it, and the other
at least just to start until like Fred realizes what's going on. Like, that would be kind of the act one.
Sure. I just wonder if Predator would keep like killing all of Fred's appliances because they're dinosaurs and he's here to hunt, like, you know, scary creatures. And so it's just like, Wilma, why is the TV remote not working? And it's just like, you know, his remote's dead, or the whatever. What's a better appliance? The mammoth that sprays the water, like the shower doesn't work, and the mammoth's just got like a hole in it. It's missing its spine.
They call the electrician, and it's like, is there a power outage? It's like, well, all your appliances are missing their spines.
Yeah,
you got to stop taking your spines out. It's like, Wilma, what are you taking the spines out for?
And then Wilma's like, I didn't do it, Fred. And he's like, that Barney.
It's one of those pranks from the lodge. I'll get back to him, steal his spine, and then he goes over there, and then like Barney's dead.
No, the Predator is storing all of his trophies at Barney's house, because like Barney's
gone. Oh, it's a comical misunderstanding.
And so Fred's like, what? All these just like bloody animal parts just hanging at Barney's house. It's just stained, stinks to high heaven. And Fred's just like beside himself, like, I can't believe you broke my washing machine, as you see, you know, whatever the mammoth or dinosaur would be, just like dead.
And then like, and Barney comes home from work and is like, Fred, what are you doing in here? What's with all the spines?
Oh, and then Fred approaches Barney like he's going to get into a fight because he's really mad. And now the Predator's like, hey, maybe these humans are dangerous. And so now the Predator can fight the humans, because he's perceived them as worthy game. And so then Barney and Fred have to figure out what's going on. So this first bit with the dead appliances and the Predators sneaking around, that's definitely act one. And then act two is kind of this turn. We got to figure out what to do. And then act three would be the final confrontation, you know, and cartoon violencing the Predator away.
Okay, act two. Okay, we need a turn, right?
Yeah.
When they realize the Predator's chasing them, the Predator catches up to them, and they look at each other and they think they're going to die, and they both they flinch and like cover their eyes, and the Predator walks past them, and the whole time the Predator was actually hunting Gazoo.
Oh, I forgot about Gazoo.
Their alien friend.
It's funny that you said you take the Flintstones a little more seriously when they have a literal, like, magic alien friend.
I don't like that. That's when they jump the shark and I stop watching.
I'm trying to think of the average Flintstones episode, because I feel like the Jetsons had a lot less going on in terms of like what they were willing to do with the plot. Whereas I think Flintstones had a bit more depth to the characters, but I don't remember enough to like confirm or deny that. Like you don't really see Fred at work that often.
Not really. I mean, it's the Honeymooners. Like he has a job, but it's just a job. Like it's not like there's workplace drama. It's just like, oh, I gotta go to work, and then he punch out and he says, oh, it was a long day at work. I don't want to work anymore. I'm gonna sit down. And then his nagging wife says, oh, well, why? I was working all day cleaning, and you were working all day working. And who's gonna do dinner? And then their neighbor is like, I broke your lawnmower. I took its spine out again. I don't remember why. That was the Honeymooners episode they adapted into the Flintstones.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So So when they realize that the Predator's after Gazoo, then Fred and Barney team up, and they realize that the Predator's like underestimating them, then that gives them the advantage, and they start hunting the Predator.
I like if like they're like trying to figure out how they're gonna hunt the Predator, and Barney just has this miraculous idea. He's like, you know, Fred, our garden tools. He's like, yeah, Barney. I mean, they are like animals with sharp teeth. We could just kill this thing with garden tools. And he's like, oh, Barney, that's stupid. And he's like, hey, I had an idea. You know our garden tools, Barney? They're just animals with sharp teeth. We could just kill this thing with our garden tools. And Barney's like, oh, that's you, Fred. You really got me this time.
And we'll have canned laughter.
Yeah. I feel like, are Pebbles and Bam Bam around? Are the spouses around? Yeah. Dino? I mean, do they do anything interesting?
No.
Okay. I feel like there's a funny gag with Bam Bam. Maybe like grabbing the Predator while it's invisible and just slamming it against the ground. And the Predator's like, fuck this. And just leaves for a little bit.
Yes. That's the thing. Like, Barney and Fred will try to stop the Predator. I won't say they succeed. But then Bam Bam will just like grab it by its ankles and like, you know, wail him around.
I like the post-credit scene. The Predator is dead. They've solved the problem. And then Bam Bam walks over to like Barney's vacuum cleaner, which is some weird snork dinosaur thing, and just like yanks its spine out.
I hate that I like this concept. This is so stupid, but I'm kind of smiling right now.
I know. I'm having such a good time.
Okay, so I'm trying to think if we can come up with something stupider than either of these two concepts.
I mean, probably. Well, there's a couple other proper 80s IP that we could splice into things if we're going on this route. One is The Thing, and then the other is Terminator.
Okay, The Thing versus The Smurfs.
Oh, I want to watch that so bad. I hate the Smurfs.
Picture a Smurf village. They're snowed in. It's a terrible winter storm. They can't go anywhere.
Yes.
Papa Smurf is found dead. Brainy Smurf is pretty sure he can figure out who it is. Jokey Smurf's taking the jokes too far, but then he was found dead. So it's like, wait a minute. No, what? Wait a minute. Who would kill Jokey Smurf? Everyone knows he jokes. And then Sneezy Smurf hasn't sneezed all day. It's like, why? Well, it's seasonal allergies. It's not spring yet. It's like you don't talk like that. You sneeze all the time.
I feel like Sneezy Smurf, when he says that, should be voiced by Kurt Russell. Because, you know.
I
gotta have a wink and then a nod to the audience.
This is so stupid. Why do I... I'm so easily entertained. I think that's why I'm frustrated when modern media is bad, because I set the bar real damn low, man.
Well, I don't know. Like, so we had a Winnie the Pooh horror movie that's getting a sequel. And by all accounts, the first one was not very good.
It's already out.
Okay, point still stands. Like, we aren't the only people with really stupid ideas that should be entertaining. But by all accounts, the Winnie the Pooh movie is bad. What if our ideas are actually bad? And we're the morons.
I refuse to accept that.
Did the Smurf stop the Thing creature, or does it just kill them all?
It's left ambiguous. The same is it should literally be the like a remake of the movie.
What happens with the evil wizard? I can't remember his name.
Gargamel?
Gargamel! That's a good name for a wizard.
Yeah, it is. He invents women and curses the village with their presence.
But they already have a woman. It's the Lady Smurf.
How much do you know about the Smurfs?
Okay, I've definitely seen the Smurfs, but it has been... That's
literally
the
origin story. That he invented Smurfette just to make the Smurfs like jealous of each other, so they would it would ruin their culture.
Really?
And weaken them.
That's stupid.
It's really Smurfs are super stupid.
The Smurfs is terrible.
The Smurfs are really stupid. There's one where there's like a black Smurf and they're like, "Oh no, a black Smurf," and they run away.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's one of those things where it's like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't intended this way and aged poorly, but also it's like, come on, guys. Come on. You guys.
Well, and they did a spinoff because there's the Snorks, which is like the Smurfs, but underwater. And that's also stupid.
Snorks aren't great. But I mean, if your whole premise is, okay, we got the Smurfs, that's stupid. Let's knock off the Smurfs. That's a little rough.
Yeah.
But, like, what are you working with?
Someone put money towards that project, and obviously it worked. I mean, you know, I've seen episodes of the Snorks and the Smurfs. Like, they've stuck around for whatever reason. Okay. So when it comes to Terminator, I feel like there are cartoon properties that we could mix this with that would be more funny, but I kind of want to see the Looney Tunes deal with the Terminator.
Oh, that would be fun. That would actually, there could be a bunch of great gags because there's a bunch of different ways to play that, because literally every Terminator movie is just a cat and dog chase anyways.
Yeah. I just love, like, you know the two the mobsters that like Bugs will torment every once in a while, but they actually have like machine guns and commit crimes. If there's a bunch of them, because like there needs to be you know, fodder. And so Terminator shows up and like you get the whole like give me your clothes, but it's like the really big one and the really small one. And they're just like, what? Because that would be funny, you know, if he has like neither of their clothes are obviously gonna fit. And then, I don't know where it would go. I feel like Porky Pig should be in here somewhere. Maybe he's like, okay, you know, Bugs comes back in time, and because Porky Pig is going to lead the resistance.
I didn't watch Ready Player One or Space Jam 2. For all we know, this is already covered.
It could be.
I think that's the sad part.
I want to workshop this one needs to be workshopped more off screen, I think. I think there's a good idea here. I mean, let's be real. Neither of us are going to actually do anything with it. It's stupid. But there's a hook here that makes me stupid happy. I was going to do all of this, Cameron, with the My Little Pony fanfics, because I did the Warhammer one, and then I wanted to do one with Alien, and then one with Predator. And then maybe one with either Terminator or the Thing, and then like split the six groups into two, and so each two get a thing going on. Because I love the idea of Twilight and, oh shit, who was it going to be? Maybe Rarity and Spike somehow getting on LV-426, and Spike gets face hugged, and they have to like figure out how to get the thing out of him before he dies. And I never got around to any of that. This is a couple years ago I thought about doing this, and it's not going to happen.
Okay, I want to ask, did you ever... I want to guess the answer is no, but did you ever play that WB fighting game?
No, but I've definitely seen a decent amount of footage of it.
Okay. I feel like that's one of those things where it's like it's a crossover that literally no one asked for. And people love Smash Brothers, and people love Fortnite, and when you see stuff in, like, Call of Duty, like Cheech and Chong, it's like, yeah, I don't want this. And it's like, I don't think the crossover stuff is what's burnt out, because people still like Smash Brothers, you know?
Yeah.
But I think there's a time and a place. And you have to genuinely have fun with it and not just be like a very transparent machine trying to trick people into buying things.
Yeah.
Did you see that new Call of Duty DLC thing? Like the cosmetic thing?
No, what's new this time?
You can get a King Kong fist for your Call of Duty man.
That's stupid. So you can
King Kong punch people.
Why?
It costs $80.
What?
$80.
How?
I don't know.
I feel like every once in a while, like when remember what they had like a Tom and Jerry movie recently that by all accounts was bad.
Yeah.
And I remember watching a movie of Tom and Jerry where I think he was in Robin Hood. And it was just like Robin Hood doing his thing, but Tom and Jerry were trying to kill each other in the background. And that movie was surprisingly fun. Like, it worked pretty well. And it's sort of like, oh, what if we just take things that exist already and just put Tom and Jerry in them? Which we've done. Like, Tom and Jerry are Willy Wonka and all this other stuff. But yes, okay, yes. Let's make that more absurd and then turn that into the movie that gets on the big screen. Instead of making this weird soulless thing that no one wants. Like, if you're going to do that, at least make it fucking stupid. Which is why I want Tom and Jerry and Aliens.
I'm disappointed we're not getting that that Acme movie.
Yeah.
That Wile E. Coyote movie.
That sucks. Because that was basically done, wasn't it?
Now I'm just whining. That's not helping any.
No, but it is frustrating. I mean, I probably wasn't going to see it. I don't know if I have a horse in the race, but I do think some of these dumber ideas like that we're having right now could make good comic books. I think there's a proper vessel for them. It's just a matter of right holders and shares. I mean, they'll never actually happen, but if they were going to happen, I think that's where I would want them. I would buy the trade paperback of Jetsons versus Alien.
Yeah. I mean, we still bring up Archie versus Predator.
That's true.
And I don't want to call that revolutionary or anything, but it was certainly fun.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, and I know we're getting close to the end here, but like, if it's okay to do in comic books because like the cost to create and the cost to get are pretty small. And so it's easier to gamble on something like that. And you have like really zany art styles. You can kind of sell it a lot better than like the Jetsons have to be kind of on model in the show. But if you draw the Jetsons in a comic book, you can, you know, stretch them and get them off model for effect a lot easier, I think. And people will accept it.
You know, what was that one? There was a Star Trek and Transformers crossover. And what was really cute was for the Star Trek art style, they went with the animated series. And specifically the 80s Transformers series. And those art styles gelled really well. And so you could kind of believe these characters seeing each other because it kind of just looked like they were drawn by the same pencil, you know? Like, sure. It wasn't this, like, weird, forced thing. It was just sort of like, oh, these cartoon characters are all on the page together. And it was fun. And it was a short miniseries thing. You know, it's like 6 issues. You get, you know, here's the little setup. Here's the story. You get it. You know where it's going. Here's the fun finale. Wasn't that neat? And you can just enjoy it. And it didn't try too hard.
Yeah, you got to appreciate that. My cats are like hard scratching at my door. I imagine they want dinner.
Okay, well, I want to kill like 3 minutes before Glad Space.
Okay.
Did you want to talk a little bit about this AI song maker we were playing with?
Yeah. What a weird, interesting kind of thing that ultimately I haven't actually played with it yet, but I putzed around and listened to some stuff yesterday. What was this called?
Yeah, it's a goofy toy. Suno? S-U-N-O?
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Because you sent me an Opinions Are Cheap song. Did you write the lyrics for this, or did you tell it what to make and it did this?
So I have the prompt. I wrote in electro swing style song about a talk show called Opinions Are Cheap, where Cameron and Chad talk about Warcraft and comic books and complain about furry drama.
So it actually came up with the lyrics then. Because I feel like the first verse, the first couple lines anyways, is like kind, like it works in terms of what it's supposed to do. Like I'm totally fine with step right up. It's time for a show where opinions fly and the banter flows, Cameron and Chad. Like, it's not great, but it sounds like a radio ad. Like I could hear this on the radio because it's friendly for every. It's serviceable. It's friendly. It's fine. And then you get into the things that later on, you know, they're obsessed with Warcraft and comic books too, unleashing their thoughts, no filter in view. Like, that's not bad. I'm not familiar with Electro Swing, so when I actually listened to this, I was like, this sounds way better than it has any right to. I know you were not as high on it, but...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I like Electro Swing a little more than you do, but also... So when I listened to it, I was a little surprised because it's like, oh, it actually did kind of sound like that genre, but also I wasn't super like impressed with the lyrics, you know? Because it feels like an AI wrote it. You know, it's very kind of basic. I didn't give it that much information, so it doesn't have a lot to work with. But it also did it correctly.
Yeah.
And it farted it out real fast. And it's like, oh, well, that's kind of fun. Like, I think that's neat. I didn't send you the other one because it didn't sound as good. But I kind of liked a couple of the lines. I wrote in, I changed the genre to hip-hop rap song. And a couple of these lines, it gets to the second verse, and it says, Cameron got the Warcraft lore, he's a true OG, knows all the raids and battlegrounds, can't you see? Chad's in love with comics, he's got them stacked so high, from Marvel to DC, he knows the stories fly.
Yeah! That's,
I liked that.
You know?
the sound was okay, but it was like, oh, you know, that's not a bad place to start with. Like, if I was serious, if I was trying to brainstorm... I might actually play with this a bit to get inspired.
I don't know what the purpose of it is. So, and I went and I was like, okay, I want to find stuff in the genres I like. I want, what do those sound like? And I feel like when you're more familiar with what you're listening to, like the there's a plastic nature to it. Like it really, really becomes noticeable that this was,
yes,
is fake. And it's very impressive.
It feels samey.
Yeah.
It feels like, I think I described it to you this way, but it's kind of like when you look at the image generated AI stuff, a lot of it feels like it's shaded the same way. And this is the same thing audibly.
Yeah.
Where there's like audible shading where it's like, yeah, I'm getting this like tinniness to the voice. I'm getting like, there's a style to the pacing. There's a style to the tempo. There's a style to the breaks. It's like it's technically doing the genres right, but also it feels like it's a machine that cranks out a certain kind of pattern.
So I found it, I think it's in Russian, but like the genre was hard metal, and there's something about this that is actually kind of cool, but then it's also, I don't know, it's so it feels like six different songs I've heard before slammed together, but not in a way that would be fun. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I had a couple. I don't know if you'd find these entertaining or not. But for my Pathfinder group, I thought, well, it'd be funny to try writing my own lyrics and see what it does when I do it like custom mode. Because the way that Suno works, you can play with it for free too. You get like 5 songs a day. And you can write in like a vague prompt, or you can do a custom thing where you write your own lyrics and then choose the genre specifically.
Okay.
And that's interesting. It actually gives you some pretty decent, you know, control that way. Because if you learn how to, you can get like upbeat country or moody slow country, and you'll get different results. But you do it that way, and it's like, okay, so I wonder if I put in lyrics, what would it actually sound like without the AI, like, framing it? So I farted something out real quick. I just, like, wrote it up so it's exactly how I wanted it to be, and then put a song to that just to see the result. And so I wrote something about our Pathfinder group where I took all of our character names and wrote, like, a line about each one to see what it would do. And it just goes, climbing was dead. I
songs that they were talking about on the episode, and they got overwritten on the website. Overwritten. Songs got a sound the same, but it's slow. Don't come and complain with it for a little bit and get bored later, but it's sort of hard, I guess. You get the point that you're falling into. Opinions are cheap with counter check.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I think I sent you the wrong one. Can you make out any of those words?
No, I mean, it sounds like he's saying I got your back a lot.
That one was weird. I don't know how... there, try that second link.
I like that kick. It sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The trumpet. Trombone, whatever this is, was not expecting that.
No, but I kind of liked it. It was like, oh, this is neat. So I shared that with the group. But then I was curious, like, okay, how would it do, like, instead of a genre, what if I told it to write the opening to like a TV show?
Yeah.
And it didn't do what I was expecting, but this one, like, It's like a step closer to maybe like a Saturday morning cartoon opening. With this one, I had it write the lyrics as an automatic prompt, and so I just wrote in like a character name and then a trait of, and so it's the same like Purdy, but it's like it has to make up a lot more this time.
Sure.
I was curious where it would go with it.
Clonko the Lizard. Wow, this sounds like. This is definitely like a Twilight Force power metal aspect to this.
It's neat. I wasn't expecting this.
Wow.
So you get it there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a neat sound, and now I want to... I think that... The genre, this was rock anthemic. Rock anthemic. I'm going to use that as a prompt word and get out as many of these as I can.
It's so interesting because, like, there's a simplicity to what it's doing that makes it, like, wear thin very quickly as far as, like, a listening experience goes. Like, that once the novelty wears off, you're like, okay, I don't need to listen to all 2 minutes of this. But it'll do... It'll make decisions that are good and then just not resolve them in a way that I think like an artist would do.
Yes.
And so there's, and then obviously the delivery of certain things is very flat, even if it's, you know, like the singer is obviously singing more than one note, but the transitions and everything feel extremely fake. It's so weird though, because it's doing a good job, but I ultimately don't want to listen. And I think this comes down to what we talked about, like the Frostbite Orc Kings and some of the other AI music that has come out.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, once the novelty wears off, like there's nothing here because there's no connection. It's just a shitpost. And shitposts are great.
Yes.
But you know someone's going to try to use this for more than that at some point. And then that's going to be a problem.
And something that I noticed on here, and I haven't played with it yet. But one of the options you can do when you make something is you can set it to instrumental where there's just no lyrics. And my first thought was, oh, I could maybe use this to craft background music for like a shitpost that I want to make, you know?
Yeah.
But also, like, why?
I know.
Because I could also just, I could go to YouTube and like find like royalty free music that sounds better and fits that mood. And also like like our Star Trek game. I want to have like a Star Trek styled opening that has our ship on it and everything. And I could ask it to try and make a Star Trek opening. But also, my friend Chad already made one that is actually made to sound like that specifically.
Oh, I did
so
do that.
So it's like, yeah, I don't really need a robot to like try and emulate something. It wouldn't actually help me any.
I forgot I did that.
Yeah, but you did. And also, like, I believe you didn't work that hard on it, like, because you got it to me really fast.
No, I think I did that so in an hour. Like,
yeah, but it's like, as convenient as this thing is to fart out a ballad in, 5 minutes? It's like, yeah, that's kind of fun, I guess. Like, it's a toy. Mm-hmm. I'm playing with it as a toy. When playing with the images stuff, I saw more potential. Playing with this one, I'm like, yeah, I don't know that I'll ever use this for anything.
One of the use cases I can think of, so the vocal Discord I'm in that I talk about a lot, there's a lot of people that they're getting better and they want to start trying to write vocal patterns to music, but there's not a lot of like royalty free or just like metal tracks that they can use. And maybe they could go on this and generate some really basic metal tracks with just instrumental and like try to learn how to songwrite with it. I think there's actual good use there for that. Like that, I don't have an issue with that anyways, like personally.
And again, if it's like, I would still kind of classify that as a toy. Like even if you're just practicing over it, you know, that's still kind of in toy territory a bit.
A little bit.
But yeah, and you know, we're having fun with this, you know, in my D&D group, like so one of my friends too, after I shared this with them, they started sending songs back to me because they have this website now.
Yep.
And I sent you that one where it's like kind of a goofy song, but it kind of sounded decent.
Yeah.
But it was like Concrete Party or.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was it called?
That had funny lyrics, so someone, like, actually wrote
cement
those.
Party. Yeah, it was about, like, going outside and, like, mixing cement in your ass by, like, twerking. But it was, like, it was written more intelligently than that, but that was, like, the punchline, Concrete Party. But it was just, like, it sounded like a pretty decent song, and it was, like, a good result. I'm like, wow, I wanna save this one. That one's actually on my hard drive, and none of the other stuff I've made is.
Like, I'm listening to this one right now as an instrumental. And is it doing anything new with the genre it's in? Heavy metal, aggressive trailer, clear sound, beat bass, epic drums? No. But it's not bad. Like, I think someone could have fun writing vocal patterns to this.
You know, yeah, this is actually kind of nice. And like you said, it's not like I would want to, like, go and listen to this. But yeah, if you wanted to use this to, like, to practice over, sing over, it's functional. And, you know, it's borrowing, like, this AI is using mathematically sound music knowledge and patterns. Because, you know, everything's metered out. So it's like, yeah, you get this structure, you know. There's actually, like, one of the songs I sent you, the rap one, there's a part where I missed a line on the chorus, and it's like, they should have said the line, like, 4 times, but I only wrote it 3 times, and I noticed that in the song, the way that it sings it a 4th line that I just didn't write, because that makes it sound better.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, it caught that. Like, that's odd. They made some other mistakes, but it caught that one.
Ooh, someone did emotional, powerful nu metal. That sounds like it's probably not very good.
I want it to make unemotional, old metal. So anyways, a fun new AI toy. I wanted to save this for the end because I'm sure there's people that are sick of hearing my AI, so you can just close the episode out since we're almost done.
Yeah. The more it changes, involves, like, it's so hard to balance the multiple views I have on this, right? Because it's really complicated, and I feel like I have complex feelings about this. Especially as someone who makes music, for fun and writes books. I mean, like, it's not like I'm not competing with the AI stuff, because I am at this point. It's just, I don't know. It's crazy, but this is a neat toy. I definitely want to play around with it a bit properly, just to see what it does.
Well, the more climate changes, the more climate stays the same. Catches on fire.
That's good. Let's do a quick glide space and then hit the road, Jack, I think. And I got one queued up. I've been watching a YouTube channel about bourbon called SLB Drinks. And it's largely, it's this older gentleman who's, I think, 60, and then his stepson, who's probably closer to my age, and they talk about bourbon, they drink a lot of bourbon, they'll do, like, blind tastings and try to rate the bottles, and then they'll figure out what they are and be like, oh, I can't believe that one won first place, it's cheap, whereas this one is really expensive. They'll talk about kind of, not so much the industry, but, you know, just little bits and pieces. So if you like whiskey and you like bourbon, obviously it's a good channel, but even if you don't, like, there's a very homey, like, father-son thing going on, so it's really relaxing. They're not, like, snobbish at all about what they're drinking. They don't want to make you feel bad because they don't like something you do or vice versa. So they're really kind of, like, normal-ass people about it. And it's just been kind of nice to, like, throw on every once in a while as like, background. Just like, oh, I'm going to hear these two guys, you know, talk about Buffalo Trace stuff and what's their favorite Buffalo Trace thing. And if it's something I've never heard of, it's like, oh, well, maybe I'll add that to the list of things to find.
How about recently? You have any interesting recommendations out of that?
No. Trying to think of because they of the last couple of videos I watched by them, they definitely were going into, like, you know, stuff nobody's talking about, or our favorite stuff right now, which some of those are kind of expensive. Heaven Hill is a distillery that I think people can probably check out. Like, their stuff's a little on the pricier side, but the stuff I've had by them anyways is very good, and it seems like they like them. Some of the Wild Turkey stuff that I've overlooked, I wanted to try now because they really like it, or at least the older guy, he loves Wild Turkey. And I like Wild Turkey 101, so I'm like, oh, I should, you know, continue down the path kind of thing. So I don't have a lot of, like, specifics that they recommend, but...
But still, I think the channel as a whole is a good recommendation. What was that name again?
SLB Drinks.
Solb.
Yeah, like the amazing bourbons that no one is talking about was kind of a cool. And I'd never heard of any of these. And so I'm like, oh, I guess I, you know, should keep an eye out for them if I find them.
Here's my recommendation. It's called bourbon.
I wish they would do a rabbit hole one, because I love rabbit hole.
You must be a gay fish.
Oh, they did one. Is rabbit hole worth the money? They better come up with a conclusion that makes me happy. But as someone who's tried most of rabbit hole's products, I could already say, yes, I think they're worth the money. They're very tasty. What about you? Are you glad about anything?
Yeah, actually, I kind of had this one on the shelf for a bit, but we haven't talked Warhammer on the show in a couple weeks.
That's true.
So we sort of missed the news, but they announced the next edition of the Fantasy line, right?
Okay.
Did you see that? The trailer?
No.
So it's cool. They did a big cinematic trailer. I thought it was really pretty. I thought they did a good job. I think there's maybe some controversy around some of the game changes, and I'm sure there's nuance to that conversation. But I enjoyed the trailer, and that's kind of what I want to talk about, because I love the Skaven, and the Skaven get a lot of good scenery in this one. A lot like the 40K trailer we got with the last edition, where the Tyranids got a lot of good screen time. But what's fun with this particular trailer is that I feel like they actually shared the love with a lot of factions, because it focuses on the Stormguard guys or whatever, and the Skaven, but it touches quickly on a bunch of other things. So you see, you know, little things of, like, you know, here's the ghosts, here's the zombies, here's the other monsters, here's some orcs.
Yeah, this is really fucking good.
I don't know how much you know about the lore about Age of Sigmar stuff.
I'm assuming none.
Little.
The Skaven are cool. So like, they, I would paint yeah. an army of Skaven just because they look sick.
Yeah, no, that's enough. What they did with the fantasy thing was like they wanted to kind of reboot the fantasy line entirely, and so they kind of said, okay, we blew up half the world and we're completely doing it different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is they introduced a bunch of new stuff. And so it got away from the Tolkien-esque, like, well, here's the dwarves and the elves and the Skaven. And they introduced more, I'm going to say variety. It's kind of a lateral shift.
Sure.
But one of the things they did was they put in Space Marines because it works really well for 40K. And the fantasy Space Marines are these paladins that are, like, they're kind of immortal. And the idea is, if you're a really good person, there's this god Sigmar that says, hey, you're a good person. I'm going to resurrect you, and you're going to be a champion of good. So if you die, I will put you back in a magic suit of armor and give you lightning powers, and you can ride a dragon or a griffin, and you can shoot lightning bolts, and you're Thor now.
Cool.
And I'll put you back on Earth, and you have to keep killing evil. And if you die again, I'll put you back, and you'll be even stronger. And so it's like, well, that's kind of cool, but every time you die, you also, like, lose a little bit of your soul. Like you kind of, like, remember less.
Oh, okay.
And so what's interesting is that now this has kind of been going on for a little bit, and these guys, you know, the Storm Eternals are, like, they're getting bigger, and they're getting more powerful as the Forge is unlocked. And they're getting, like, a little more crazy and remembering a lot less because they've been dying a lot over the years now. So it's like, okay, narratively, what happens when they're all, like, soulless?
Yeah, this is really good, like, fantasy ideas. Like, I would read a book about this, but not one with Wizards of the Coast name on it.
So I like the trailer.
The trailer is very good. I just watched it. This is cool.
Yeah. I think that they're making some weird choices. They're actually, like, removing an entire army. So, like, if you really like the Beastmen army, sorry. Which is a weird choice. I don't know. It seems like there's some mixed responses, but also we don't have all the info yet.
I'm sure
we'll get new Skaven models that will be beautiful, because a lot of the Skaven models are actually so old that they're still made of metal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's overdue. But yeah, we'll see where that goes.
Cool. No, that's a good one.
Stormcast Eternals. I kept getting their name wrong this whole time, and it was bugging me. I couldn't remember.
I would paint all of these things. I just don't know where I'd put it at that point. You know, cost and space.
40K is a lot of fun. I really like the 40K universe. Age of Sigmar, I care a lot less about the story, and I want all of the models.
Yeah.
The sculpts are so good. Every faction has something, like, worthwhile in it. I don't even like elves, and all of the Age of Sigmar elves are interesting.
Yeah, just, like, visually, everything is very cool. I think Warhammer has that going for it, too. Just, like, I don't know if there's, like, a real truly shitty Warhammer model, at least recently. Like, obviously there's some, like, dumb joke ones with like the sassy Nurgling and whatever, but even those are charming enough where I get why people, like, fall in love with them and want to paint them and, you know, enjoy them.
Oh yeah, we do have some new Skaven if you want to see a little preview.
Oh yeah, we can do that real quick.
These kind of just look like soldiers.
I like the dude with the tabard or the it's not technically called a flag. It has, like, the standard, the battle standard.
Oh yeah,
he looks grizzled.
No, that's, like, great looking.
He looks like he's seen some shit.
Yeah, I love how they write stuff for Skaven, where it's like they're kind of like they're such a big threat that if they were effectively organized, they could take over the world. But if they're left to their own devices, they kill each other. It's just kind of like, it's funny, but it's also not just comic relief. it feels like actual chaos.
Yeah.
But yeah, that stuff's fun, whatever.
I had a really good time with this episode, but I should probably go feed my cats because they are upset.
We're a couple of goofy guys.
We are. Little goofy goobers, like in SpongeBob.
Well, have a good evening.
Yeah, you too.
And remember, if you ever watch the Jetsons, ask yourself, why?
Remember to drink your Ovaltine.
Remember to drink your Ovaltine.